1201 Northwest 21st Avenue, open daily 5 to 10 p.m. with belly dancing Wednesday through Sunday, serving Moroccan cuisine since 1989.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Book of Mermen, a play running from Friday, November 27th through Saturday, December 19th, presented by Triangle Productions in Portland. The Book of Mermen is a new musical comedy where Mormon missionaries meet Ethel Merman. Again, that's The Book of Mermen, playing from December 19th at Triangle Productions, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Everything's coming up frozen.
KBOO Portland. The time is now 5 p.m. and coming up next is the KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, KBOO speaks with the Dean of Students at Lewis and Clark College about the student occupation of the President's office to challenge racist violence.
An elementary student in Sandy files a lawsuit charging that school officials failed to respond adequately to a sexual assault.
And the U.S. Senate votes to defund Planned Parenthood despite a promise by the president that he will veto the bill.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, December 4th, 2015. KBOO is now in our membership drive, and I want to urge you to become a member. Call 877-500-5266. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Linda Olson Osterlund. Lewis and Clark students aligned with the Black Lives Matter movement have been occupying their president's manor since November 24th. The protesters were motivated by recent attacks on their campus and are calling for a safer campus and greater diversity. KBOO's Joe Meyer spoke with the Lewis and Clark Dean of Students, Anna Gonzalez, and filed this report.
Do the recent attacks on the Lewis and Clark campus alarm you?
Yes, of course. It does. As the Dean of Students, I take all issues of safety very seriously. And so all the way from the Yik Yak, where our students, our community, Black community, was targeted through what had been allegedly happened or was reported by a current student about being attacked. We're taking it very seriously, and I was alarmed.
Specifically, a week ago, a man from Rwanda was attacked on campus.
I was in Boston, and I had to coordinate a lot of the things happening from there when I happened. So I think I got the call just before 4 a.m. Boston time from a student who said they heard about this and immediately went into mode of coordinating, making sure that he was okay. He was already being taken care of by both his friends and my staff. Our emergency staff was there and present with him as well. And so that was my initial understanding, is to take care of him, to send the message out to the community, and as well as to make sure that he had support while the police tried to speak with him about the attack. What is unfortunate is that he has not yet cooperated with the police on helping us identify who were the assailants. And I think in large part that comes from him wanting to have us be forgiving and having him kind of move past this and forgive his assailants.
Will Lewis and Clark move forward to press charges against these individuals?
If we can find them, we will definitely go through our judicial system, and hoping that the police will work with us as well with regards to the legal system on pressing charges with the individuals. And again, we need to start from the very beginning, which is that the student really needs to work with us and needs to work with the police on helping identify who they are. Without that, the police or us, we can't move forward.
How would you characterize the administration response as a whole?
The administration, I think, has been working really hard. I know I have. So on a personal level, many people have been working hard and working with students to address the situation and to see how we can create a more inclusive and safer campus. The president, while he was in D.C., was helping coordinate a lot of the activities in terms of supporting the students. And as you may have heard, on Monday night, he and members of the administration and faculty, staff, and students will be coming together to address these issues, to talk about it, and how we can build community.
Is that the December 7th forum?
Yes, it is. Great. The December 7th forum at our chapel.
Is the community invited?
I believe faculty, staff, alumni, students, and parents are invited.
How do you characterize the student response?
The student response, I think it's mixed. We have over 3,500 students. That includes our grad and law school. I think the response has been first worried for our community, making sure that we are inclusive, we are safe. And at the same time, I really do want to honor the students who are organizing, as well as other students who have volunteered to be in the buddy system, as well as look out for one another. I think everyone is much more aware of their environment. I walk on campus mostly by myself late at night here, and I walk around. I feel safe, and at the same time, I'm much more aware of where I'm walking and who's around me. And so I think the community has reacted in a proactive way with regards to issues of safety and security. And as far as issues of inclusivity, I think the community has taken it on as enthusiastically with regards to wanting to have dialogue and continuing to figure out how we can move forward and improve upon what we already have in this liberal arts college.
Part of the student vision is having the university hire more professors of color.
Yes, yes. So it's kind of interesting. I was a student activist years ago, and many, many years ago, and that was one of the things that moved me to have more staff and faculty of color, and which is what inspired me to become a dean of students to help with that, the dearth of individuals in the field. And so I can relate to their demands in that way, and I can relate to what they would like, and I think that we are committed to making that work. I know for my division, I can only speak for student life when I say that we have worked really hard since I've been here the last 3 years to increase the diversity of our staff, and I think we've seen it. When I first came, campus living was all white, and now we have 80% of our area directors as people of color, and we continue to do the work.
Some of the students holding out in the Manor say the administration remains aloof and is stalling.
Oh, I hope that they don't believe all of that. I think that I'm a dean and I'm an administrator, and I don't think I've been aloof. Neither do my counterparts and my colleagues. I think that, in fact, we kept the Manor House open. We kept the Manor House warm. We have allowed them that space to be there, and so we care. We care about them a great deal. We've increased security all over campus, including at the Manor House when they're there at night. So we do care. I don't think aloof is a fair statement. The people who are working there every day make sure that the students are recognized. And so I'm not sure that that's a fair statement to say.
Maybe it was directed at the president.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's really hard to if you're not a president or the president, what a president does. In many ways, he's still continuing to work, and Lewis and Clark is at the foremost of his mind. It's a priority for him, clearly. And he talks with us and meets with us on a daily basis. And he has met with students and staff and other colleagues about this issue. And so he is working, and I think you'll see that on Monday with him and with the Committee on Diversity and Inclusion.
That was Lewis and Clark Dean of Students Anna Gonzalez speaking with KBOO's Joe Meyer earlier today.
I'm not a real newsman. I'm not a real newsman. I just play one on the radio. But I am associated with a whole crew of real news people here. And they're not doing it for all the wealth and fame. They're doing it for the community, which has supported them for how much? 68 years or something? And I'm proud to be associated with them. And now it's your turn to help us all get this, keep this thing going. And I'm joined now by Jamie and Teresa to tell you more about it.
KBOO Portland, it's the news time, and we would like to thank Kaylee, who is a new member from Southeast Portland, and Zale, who is renewing from Southeast Portland. Thank you so much, Kaylee and Zale. Kaylee and Zale called 877-552-66. I'm so proud to be right here looking at the KBOO news staff. They do so much, they do it for nothing, and they do it wearing Lucha Libre masks. I'm making up that last part.
And they're naked.
Yeah, except for the mask. And we have a one-to-one match for new and increasing donors all month long, and there's a new and increasing donors are matched 2-to-1 right now. If you donate $100, when you donate $100, it turns into $300. There's a man standing here in a Brooks Brothers suit with a top hat, and he stands in the corner, looks taciturn, and he doesn't give a squat until you call 877-500-5266. Okay, I totally made that up.
Well, and if you contribute $50, it turns into $150.
Yeah, the money's real.
If you contribute $25, it turns into $75. But we prefer that you consider a monthly donation. We value all contributions, of course, and the only contribution which we don't value is the one you don't make. But 40% of our members give a monthly donation, and it's an average of $11.50 a month, and it's like falling off a log. You sign up to have to have the contribution taken out of your bank account, and I have a 15 taken out of my bank account, which is approximately what my wages would be given my income. And we encourage you to think about giving an hour's wage per month, and it will benefit KBOO in that we know that we have stable funding to be able to bring you this kind of public affairs programming. You know, KBOO programs offer solutions, not just gloom and doom, like the regular news. And we offer answers, not just questions, and put you in touch with local activists and local organizations that are making positive change now.
And yet, we sort of specialize in questions, I would say. But the question is, have you called yet? 877-500-5266. That's the number. 877-500-KBOO, 877-500-5266. Now, you can get yourself a thick, luxurious, glorious KBOO zip-up hoodie with the KBOO logo on the side, and join, you know, the seething masses that you see everywhere in KBOO black hoodies by donating $20 a month. And that's the only way you can get it. You can't give us $240 and get one. We'll say no. You can't put it on your credit card. We say no. You have to give us $20 a month. And we really appreciate people who do. And people seem to love that hoodie. 877-500-5266. 877-500-KBOO. 877-500-5266. Please pull over safely if you're driving at this time before you dial us. We would appreciate that. But, you know, there's probably a parking lot over there at the Plaid Pantry that you can pull in, Mark, and give us a call. 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266.
Or John,
yeah.
Barbara.
Barbara. Have you called yet, Barbara? Come on, Barbara.
Dana.
We ain't got all day.
So, you know, Portland's known as a progressive city, right? It didn't come that way. Become that way overnight by accident. 40 years. Is it more than that? What are we, 45 years?
1968 is a long time ago.
Almost, yeah. Of KBOO, day in and day out, has set an agenda and molded the minds of Portlanders, including my own. And if you're one of those Portland progressives who appreciates listening to KBOO, now is the time to not only consider dialing, but you could even pull out that smartphone and go directly to the web.
It molded my mind into one of those nice jello salad shapes that's sort of like concentric rings that, never mind. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, and you are the person who needs to call because you're the person who understands it. It has to be right now. It has to be you because you know right now in your heart what you need to do. Yeah, you need to be part of this, and you're going to enjoy it. And, you know, for some of you who join at 877-500-KBOO, you're just going to go on to volunteer and do all kinds of stuff here that gets it more and more satisfying. And others, you just like to give us money and be a part of it and get a premium or a T-shirt or our coupons. And, oh, I'm getting it's time to go back to democracy. I mean, it's time to go back to the news sign. So let's do that.
The Overlook Neighborhood Association in North Portland has called for the eviction of the Hazelnut Grove homeless camp. In a letter addressed to the mayor and city commissioners, the group asked that the city revoke the permission it had given to camp there and to work with campers to find better alternatives throughout Portland. Excuse me. The homeless camp, which is located on the south end of the Overlook neighborhood along North Greeley Avenue near North Interstate Avenue, was set up this summer on a patchwork of public and private land at the base of a steep hill. Please forgive the interruption. According to Daniel Herman, chair of the Overlook Neighborhood Association, since sanctioning the initial encampment, the city has failed to provide any meaningful boundary or population limits for safety and enforcement support for the residents. The group is also unhappy with the growing number of campers, which were originally less than 25, but are now estimated to be between 55 to 75 campers at the site. According to the Oregonian in September, the Oregon Department of Transportation said it would evict the campers from its property, but Mayor Hale stepped in and said the campers should be allowed to stay because they weren't breaking any laws. Raven Justice, one of Hazelnut Grove's longtime residents, said the campers weren't happy to be there, but were trying to make the best of what they've got. Several structures have been erected on the property, including a kitchen area, as well as a city-delivered portable toilet.
If a low-income person has access to a mobile phone, it can benefit that person in many ways. That's the reasoning behind Care Oregon's plan to offer free phones to Medicaid members through the state's Lifeline program for emergency phone access in Oregon. KBOO's Demi Elenius has more in collaboration with the Oregon News Service.
Getting more free mobile phones into the hands of more low-income Oregonians is the goal of a new partnership. SafeLink Wireless, an emergency mobile phone provider, and Care Oregon, the nonprofit that provides health plan services for Medicaid members, have teamed up to offer free cell phones to tens of thousands of people in the hope that they'll keep in better touch with their health care providers. Calls to Care Oregon customer service will be free on the new phones. And Tamara Pedrogetti with Care Oregon says there's also free texting and 350 minutes a month for other calls.
Friends and family and relatives, I mean, that's part of health care and part of communities, and that they'll be able to keep in contact with their loved ones. To me, that's really important.
Care Oregon is rolling out the free phone program this month. Through its affiliated coordinated care organizations in Jackson County, the Portland metro area, and on the Northwest Coast, people will receive an application in the mail to fill out if they want a phone, and it will be screened to ensure that they qualify. One phone per household will be available. As the connection between Oregon Health Plan or Medicaid members and their health care providers, Care Oregon's Martin Taylor says there are lots of reasons for patients to keep in touch.
They may call because they want to change providers. They may have moved and want to update their information or establish with the provider that's closer to them.
Phone provider SafeLink Wireless works with a federal Lifeline program that funds emergency phone service for households that can't otherwise afford it. Oregon is one of the states with the lowest Lifeline usage. By including Oregon Health Plan members, as many as 30,000 more people who qualify could have mobile phones by this time next year. For KBOO News, I'm Demi Hellenius.
As world leaders gather in Paris for the global climate conference known as the COP21, Oregon is leading the way in terms of job growth, focusing on the clean economy. Now, A new report from the Delphi Group says the clean economy growth rate has more than doubled the region's overall growth. David Kesters of KBOO News, in conjunction with the Oregon News Service, has more.
Oregon has gained about 4,800 jobs in the past 5 years in fields that are part of the clean economy, according to a new report that says these types of jobs are outpacing the rest of the economy all along the West Coast. The research from the Delphi Group says green building and energy efficiency are the top sectors for job growth in Oregon, up 26% since 2010. Report co-author Paul Shorthouse says Oregon is holding its own, even compared to California and Washington.
You know, while the total job numbers are smaller, they started from a smaller base, so their growth rate has actually been fairly good. We've also seen, you know, impressive investments in the utility sector and very advanced solar PV production facilities.
Shorthouse says the report shows that regional cooperation is paying off for the three states and British Columbia that make up the Pacific Coast Collaborative in terms of clean energy policies and investments that benefit the environment. The report factors Northwest hydropower into its calculations for clean energy and is one of the top 10 segments of the economy that has shown growth in the past 5 years. But Shorthouse says it isn't where most of the new living wage jobs are coming from.
What we have seen actually is this trend towards more solar and wind that has now become the dominant source of jobs in the clean energy space over hydro. So it's been a bit of a shift over the last 5 years.
In Oregon, the report says some of the fastest growing segments of the clean economy for job creation are lighting and appliances, wind and solar power, and energy saving consumer products. For KBOO News, I'm David Kesters.
The Port of Portland has begun subsidizing shipping service for containers from Idaho in an effort to make up for the pullout of Hanjin Shipping last February. Hanjin provided 80% of the business at the main shipping terminal of the Port of Portland. But after 3 years of management's refusal to respond to the demands of workers, the company decided to take its business elsewhere. Another major shipping company, Hapag-Lloyd, has pulled its contracts from the port. The management of the port continues to blame the ILWU union for the continued impasse in labor negotiations. But longshore workers who load and unload shipping containers say they've always been willing to negotiate. The workers say that the management company seems willing to let the port lose all its business rather than provide the workers with living wages and benefits. For the first time in the 8 months since Hanjin pulled out, the first container barges arrived at the Port of Portland this week. The Port of Portland is subsidizing the first runs of the rail system and barge. Earlier this year, the Port of Portland's container terminal canceled shipping business. Port officials say they expect the system to pay for itself by January.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or to become a member at any time during our program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Counterspin following the news, and after that, Bread and Roses at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective with hosts Davey D and Anita Johnson. Tomorrow's weather is rainy and cool in the Portland area with a high of 48 and an 80% chance of rain. On Sunday, again, an 80% chance of rain and a high of 53. Today in history, on December 4th, 1952, a deadly smog created by smoke, soot, and sulfur dioxide from factories, cars, and coal fires in local homes began to hover over London, England. The deadly smog continued for 4 days, leading to the deaths of at least 4,000 people. The quote of the day is from folk singer Bob Dylan, who responded when asked why commercial radio stations didn't play his music, quote, "I had no songs in my repertoire for commercial radio anyway," end quote.
This is a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage, local, national, and international, and now it's your turn. Jamie and Teresa are here to tell you how you can do that.
That's right. Jamie here and... Teresa. Want you to go to your phone right now and dial 877-500-5266 and become a KBOO member, or you can make a secure donation online at kboo.fm. And during the evening news only, you can double the impact of your donation without any extra money out of your pocket. How can we do that? An anonymous donor has made a very generous offer to match the next $200 in donations called in during the KBOO Evening News.
Thank you, Anonymous.
So double the impact of your gift by calling 877-500-5266. So if you contribute $100, it turns into $300. Contribute $50, it turns into $150. Contribute $25, it turns into $75.
It's an encouraging thing. And you can call right now and get yourself a Chinook book. The Portland 2016 Chinook book contains hundreds of coupons to local businesses worth over $7,000. No kidding, $7,000. And that's just for you calling in for, let's see, I'm going to get the exact amount. I say $10 a month, but actually you only have to pay $7.50 a month to get that. You can call 877-500-5266. Now, if you use that book, you're certainly going to get back more than $7.50. And I just love, it's a beautiful thing because that's, you know, that's that much money. That's, you know, $90 a year that you're yanking out of Uncle Sam's hands because you can put it on your tax return as tax deductible. Yep, we're a 501c3 organization.
We are educational.
Uncle Sam don't get it, can't bomb anybody with it. And you can call 877-500-5266, and you get great coupons in this book. I mean, some of them are coupons that say you can have, like, you know, $5, $10 worth of groceries. Just walk in and get your groceries with the coupon from the book. So that can start happening now for you, 877-500-5266, and you'll be so proud to be a new KBOO member. And I know a lot of y'all hold back and you're thinking, well, you know, who is it that has to actually pay in? Has to be you, because you know. Gotcha. You're the one that knows. So you have to call 877-500-5266.
Oh, you can pull out that newfangled smartphone and go online to kboo.fm. And remember, during this evening news only, new and increasing donors are matched 2-to-1. So thanks for being a KBOO listener, and now it's time to move up to becoming a KBOO member. You've made the investment, you've been listening for a long time, and now is the time to put it on paper, right?
We don't waste your money here. When you call in, 877-500-5266, part of your call is going through a phone system that is just it looks steam-powered. I mean, I remember them. I'm so used to seeing it, I don't think about it. But imagine going into a place and here's this push-button phone with these great big lighted-up buttons on it. You press them, clack, it makes a physical connection to the line every time. Well, they work because we have volunteers that fix all this stuff. We don't waste the money. It works, so what the heck? We're just going to keep it. 877-500-5266. We need your call right now. As I was saying, you can get your hands on that Chinook book, and I think that you will be glad that you did. We also have, and I was just talking with Jamie about this earlier, the lovely flash drive, which has an amazing number of speakers on it. And I'm just thinking, of course, it's got Naomi Klein on it. And who are you thinking, Jamie? It's got Martin Luther King on it. It's got W.E.B. Du Bois. I mean, it's just an amazing flash drive. With all the stuff that you love on KBOO is on this flash drive. 877-500-5266, and you can get that for, I think, $625 a month. Yeah. And you can find out by spending 3 minutes on the phone. Please pull over before you call 877-500-5266. That's 877 toll-free, 500-KBOO, 877-500-KBOO, and join us.
That flash drive has got archived material from the last almost 45 years of KBOO's existence. I was a listener for almost 40 years before I became contributed a dime to KBOO. And you know what happened?
What happened?
I got one of those newfangled cell phones.
Yeah?
Yeah. And so when someone said, call now at 877-500-5266, I could whip out that phone and dial right then and there.
And you did.
Yeah, yeah. So if you have one of those newfangled cell phones, whip it out.
You know what's really funny about those? I mean, I know you know this, Jamie, is that every one of them has a radio chip on it so that you could be getting free radio, except they've got it shut off. It's just like you have to go to Congress. But it sounds like we're getting ready to go back to news programming. Let me just double check on that. Oh, just a few seconds for you to call in. So great. Call
now
in at 877-552-6666. I exaggerate. You can actually call in after I stop yapping. 877-500-KABU. And probably Jamie can think one more reason for you to call.
Yes, procrastination is not an option.
A student at an elementary school in Sandy, Oregon, has reported that she was sexually assaulted by another student and the school did not respond appropriately. Now the student's family has filed a lawsuit against the Oregon Trail School District and Sandy Elementary School. For more, KABU's Steve Zavodnik spoke with Jeffrey Caffey, the lawyer for the student who alleged the assault at Sandy Elementary.
This involves a situation where there was a student, and I'm just going to call her Sarah for purposes of talking about this. That's obviously not a real name. Her guardian informed the school on the first day of school that there had been prior instances of sexual misconduct with another student when they were in a Head Start program in the school year prior. The other student had exposed himself during the Head Start program to her. And so this was conveyed to the Sandy grade school principal. And the thought was that the principal would talk to the teachers about this and get the matter addressed, maybe separate the students, do something to avoid further instances. And the principal ended up sitting on this for 2 days. And in that time, there was an incident in a bathroom where the other student had locked him and Sarah in the bathroom outside the supervision of the teachers. This issue was brought up again to the principal, and the guardian of Sarah asked for some sort of safety plan, put something into place, but the school didn't do that. Over the course of the next few weeks, incidents keep cropping up, and it really hit ahead on September 17th. When Sarah came home, he reported an incident to the guardian. The details weren't reported by her, but she was pretty upset about the situation. When her guardian called into the school, asked about the details, the principal